Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I tell you, the way things are going, I feel like my reach is not big enough. We need to have 1 million unenslaved minds at a time that we got to reach, because things are crazy out there. But listen, we're going to have an interview here with Colin Plume, and I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to make a lot of sense here, and you need to play this far and wide, because we are in a weird economy. There are people that are still making good money despite all the misery that's out there, and there are people that are learning to protect their assets, and we're going to hear a little bit of all of that. In fact, we're going to look at something called cryptocurrency. If you're not familiar with it, you're going to want to learn about this. The ABCs of cryptocurrency in a depressed economy and how people are making money on it. Anyway, Colin Plume is no stranger to all of you. We invite him on frequently to talk about the nature of the economy. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about there. Colin, welcome to the show. I'm really glad you could be with us. Did you ever think, when you started in this business that you're in, did you ever think you would be living in times like we are now?
No, I mean, I will tell you that I have always been prepared in terms of just having enough supplies to last for. We have about 3 months of supplies to feed the family. But did I think that I would be at home all the hours that I'm at home and dealing with everything that we're dealing with right now, just in terms of our company and with gold and silver? You know, obviously there's been a rush of demand with gold and silver. People want physical items right now. So we've been, everybody that's working for us has been working around the clock. And, I never thought we wouldn't be able to take a walk at the park. I never thought that would happen.
And that's absurd.
Yeah.
I actually had a young guy write to me from Chicago. And he just got a $1,000 ticket for shooting baskets 200 feet from his apartment an empty park. An empty park.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real shame. I I'm a huge basketball fan. I have a basketball hoop, luckily, at my house. And I can't even tell you how many hours over the last 6 weeks that I've been outside once the kids go to sleep, just to get away and sort of zone out from what's happening out there, and to not have that kind of release. That's the problem, is the lack of release for everybody out there, to that you don't feel comfortable, you know, getting outside, and you know, a lot of the fear that's out there, when, you know, obviously a lot of the data is not confirmed in sort of any direction, unfortunately, at this point. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, but luckily work, you know, Noble Gold, Noble Bitcoin have been very busy, and sort of that's kept our mind off of it here, at least in our house.
Well, that really is. You know, one of the things that concerns me, because we're not going to see a climb out of this anytime soon.
No.
Harry Dent's out there saying this, even if we started back to work today, it's going to take 5 to 8 years to fix the damage we've done. So having said that, what's interesting to me is how many people are still refusing to reallocate their assets, those who are in a position to do so. And I don't mean those trying to live paycheck to paycheck and waiting for their $1,200 stimulus. I'm talking about people who have enough to worry about, and
right,
they have all their darn money in the bank. I mean, can you address that for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people are still sort of holding on to the fact that they think that the stock market's going to recover completely. In the short term, I think it would. I don't think there's anybody that believes that the stock market's going to go back to where it was. Now, I think when the economy opens up, we may see some, you know, spikes short-term spikes, but most of the people that I know are not day traders, so that's not going to help them. I think the bigger issue that we're going to see is that the big sell-off hasn't happened yet. I don't think the real pullout of the stock market has happened for most people. A lot of them just didn't know what to do, couldn't react quickly enough, and they don't want to sell at a loss. But I guess the bigger issue really comes down to, would you rather sell at the loss of today or the bigger loss of tomorrow? And I think that's going to be the reality when things open up, because it's, you know, people aren't going to be going to restaurants full time again. People aren't going to be going, all the big sporting events are pretty much going to be shut down for most of the year. So there's no chance that this is going to recover quickly. So I don't know why people haven't started moving out of some of the traditional investments, but you know, that's why we're here today, to talk about something a little bit different. And, you know, I always talk about precious metals, but something I definitely wanted to talk about was cryptocurrency, which is something that we've been doing for about 4 years. And I wanted to give some insight into that and let you sort of ask me questions and go
through
it.
Yeah, I have to come at this as a layman. I mean, and I should say this to the audience. Not only do we here on the Common Sense Show rely a lot on the economic advice that we get from Colin on a monthly basis, but his company, Noble Gold, and I'm an advertiser for them, as everyone knows, I'm also a customer. And I have to tell you, we looked at the assets that I have, and I was too heavily vested in cash in the bank. And thank you so much for what you did for me. I'm a happy customer. I felt I was treated with fairly great pricing that you have. But more importantly now, I'm diversified to where if the economy continues to tank, and I think it will, I'm not going to take a total dive. I may take some hits here and there, but I'm not going to take a total dive, and people just are leaving their assets in place, and that's crazy. And cryptocurrency, is cryptocurrency another way to do what I did with gold?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what we do in cryptocurrency is we simplify it. I think the big fear when you get into something new, something like cryptocurrency, and I will say this, and I've gone on the record to say this, gold and cryptocurrencies are not the same kind of investment. Gold is a safe haven investment. It will always be a safe haven investment. And it's gonna have the kind of returns that you're gonna want. It's gonna move in opposite of the stock market. And especially with all the money printing going on right now, gold's gonna be a great asset to own for a long time. But in terms of risk, cryptocurrency is a 9 out of 10, and I've gone on the record to say that. It is a riskier investment. However, I will tell you this, you know, Bitcoin right now, which is the one that everybody knows about, is sitting in the $7,800 range per Bitcoin. And what that means is that one Bitcoin is worth $7,800. Where was it 3 years ago when it really moved? It broke 20,000. So one Bitcoin was worth over 20,000. Can it get past that number? Absolutely. Is there estimates of it going to 100 or 200 or 300,000 a coin? Absolutely. So when you look at this investment, you have to look at it as a high risk investment, but also potentially a high return investment. And that's why a lot of people are excited about it right now. Since it hit its peak of 20,000, it did pull back all the way to 3,200, and it sat in the $3,200 to $4,000 range for about a year, year and a half. And a lot of people said that this is sort of the end of cryptocurrency. But with everything happening in the economy, it's found its footing again. More institutions are using it. It's becoming more acceptable as a currency. And instead of it going down, and some people thought it would go down below 1,000, it's doubled. And, I mean, year to date, it's up about 25%. And, like I said, I think there's definitely a lot of potential if you're okay with the heart attack it's a very volatile asset. I don't know if you've ever watched the price, Dave, but it can move up $1,000 and move down $1,000 in a day. So it's not for the faint of heart, if that's, you know, if you're looking for safe, kind of a safe, secure investment, this is not.
Yeah, that would be gold, and that's why I did what I did.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this question then. Let's say that someone comes in and they purchase cryptocurrency, and it really escalates, and people said, okay, it's pretty high, it's time to sell. How does someone cash that out, and what do they cash it out into?
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you about it today, because we're offering, actually this is the first place that I'm going to discuss this, but we are going to do something that we've never done, is we are offering, in your IRA, you can put Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, and Ripple, and we can actually do it in the same account that you hold your gold or silver in. So it's really exciting. And the reason that's a benefit is what I'll explain to you, and it sort of goes along with your question. When you're looking at Bitcoin and these types of investments, when you have an investment that can go up 10 or 20 or 30 times, really, once it hits those numbers, what happens to a lot of people is they get gun shy to sell because, as you can imagine, you're thinking it, Uncle Sam is going to take 50% of that profit, right? So a lot of times when you have that huge return, and this happens in everything, I think a lot of people did this in the stock market, is they were scared to sell because they didn't want to pay tax. Well, the beauty behind this is that if you're doing it in your IRA, so let's say you bought it today under 8,000, let's say it doubles and it goes to 16,000, and you call us and you go, hey, Noble Gold, Noble Bitcoin, I want to get out. I just want to go into cash, or I want to go into gold. Can I do that safely? You can absolutely do that in your IRA, and it's all tax deferred. So if you are going to buy cryptocurrencies, there is no better way to do it, because a lot of people think the IRS doesn't know about these transactions. But you're selling and you're doubling your money in Bitcoin and you're not doing it in IRA, I guarantee the IRS is going to know about it and they're going to come knocking on your door. If you do it in the IRA, you avoid all that, so you can keep that money in the IRA tax deferred. You could move it into gold, or you could move it, you know, back into stocks or anything you wanted. So it really gives you the ability to do that compound return. And that's the way that you really can make money in this world, is that compound return, that compound interest, where you double your money. Let's say you put 20,000 in, it goes to 40,000. You sell it, you go back into cash. You don't have to pay that big tax bill because it's in your IRA. You're safe. And then you can move that money into something else. And that's, if you look at compound interest, and you can go to our YouTube page, we have a video about how you can turn, if you doubled one penny for 30 days, how much money that would turn into if you had compound interest and you didn't have to pay tax. The number is astronomical. But ultimately, if you can keep it in a tax-deferred vehicle, that's really how you can sort of grow this. And what's happening right now and the reason we're moving in this direction is that we've been able to work with our custodian that handles this and handles the paperwork for the IRAs, and they've slashed their fees. I've been working on this for 6 months. They slashed their fees. So on top of that, Noble Gold is, if you have a qualified account, not only are they slashing their annual fees, but year one, we're going to cover that first year coming in. So those fees to set up the IRA and everything, we're going to cover that for any qualified amount. And we're going to make it a little bit easier to get in and really start to take advantage of these potential gains.
That's pretty amazing. It really is. I like how you can cash out the cryptocurrency and put it directly into gold.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's like going, okay, now we've made our gains.
Yeah.
Let's solidify them and protect them and put them in gold, which is a lot better than taking cash, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some people, you know, I another thing that came up that I've been, this is my number one pet peeve about funds, is you have these target date funds. I don't know if you and I have ever talked about these.
No, I've never heard of them.
So target date funds are basically mutual funds that are, what they're supposed to do is that when you get to close to retirement, and they know the year that you're going to retire. So, and there's a big, lot of articles about this, and you can go out and read about it. I'll send you some articles after this, Dave. But basically, the top 10 target date funds, what they're supposed to do is, when, let's say you're going to retire this year, They're supposed to move you out of all the risky investments and put you into basically bonds, you know, 80-90% into bonds or cash. They put you in a really safe. So basically through your working career, they're investing, they're taking risk, and then as you get closer, they're going to pull that risk off the table, if that makes sense. Right now, of the top 10 biggest target date funds, 7 of the 10, if you look at the numbers, had over 50% of their clients' money in equities when this hit, which is unbelievable that they would take this kind of risk for people when the idea behind it is that it's your own stockbroker, right? It's your old stockbroker that told you, hey, you're going to retire next year. Let's get away from all this risk because we don't know what's going to happen. Well, that's what they were supposed to do. That's what these funds were supposed to do. And guess what? They didn't. And now all these investors are getting hurt because they didn't move that fund. Those funds did not move them into the right assets right before they were going to retire. And as you said, it could take 5 to 8 years for this economy to recover.
My gosh, this is just so darn scary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why in this day and age, you have to take control of your own finances. It's ultimately, that's what you did with us, Dave. That's what people have to do because even these, and I don't think these funds intentionally tried to hurt people. I don't think it was an intentional move. I just think that they thought like everybody else that this stock market could go forever. And guess what? You have a black swan event like this virus. And you know, things turn, but for them to say that they didn't anticipate a pullback regardless of the virus is, in my opinion, is naive because we've been in a bull market. There's been a lot of evidence out there that we're going to have a correction. So regardless of this virus, these funds should have been moving people into investments that were safer and they didn't. And it really makes me angry. That these kind of funds can do it. And if you look at 2008, if you want to dive in even deeper, the same thing happened in 2008. And obviously the writing was on the wall in 2008 too. And a lot of people got hurt in the same exact funds they got hurt in 2008, which is really unfortunate.
It sounds a lot like 2008 to me.
Yeah.
Except for one thing about 2008. It took time to do this and we didn't intentionally inflict our own economic death.
Absolutely. Well, and we kind of talked about it briefly before we got on the air. The bigger difference between this crisis and before, and this is always my belief in the economy, it's all about jobs. If there's no jobs, if people aren't hiring, the economy tanks, regardless of whatever else is going on. We had the lowest unemployment before this whole thing happened, and the economy was just going crazy because that gives people a footing. It gives people confidence. It gives people confidence to buy a house. It gives people confidence to buy a new car. It gives people confidence to do things, to travel and to do all the things that they're looking to do. Once they don't have a job and they don't know when that job's coming back, and I think that's a real situation now. I think our unemployment this year well above 10% for this year minimum. I think that's the part that makes it really, really difficult. So, I will say that, you know, in terms of eventually coming out of this, I think the U.S. will come out of this much stronger. And the reason I believe that is some of the benefits that came out of 2008 was that people started traveling in the U.S. locally again. And I think that's going to be I think eventually people are going to start getting out. They're going to go to their local beaches. They're going to go to the national parks. And I think there'll be this resurgence in the U.S., probably something that we've never seen in a long time. So I think the ultimate good will be there. But I think in the short term, unfortunately, we are going to see some heartaches especially with unemployment. The big employers are not going to be hiring like they used to.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And we're going to see, I think we're going to see malls and strip malls look like ghost cities when we come out of this.
We're just literally pulling the band-aid off, as fast as possible. I mean, malls were going in this direction anyway. I mean, this is where things were going with those types of institutions. I think that, working from home, you know, they said in the next 5 years, they said about 32% of people were going to be working from home. I think that's going to escalate things. So it's just people need to shift their focus. And I think ultimately a lot of people are going to say, I'm not going to go back to work because I can't trust it. And I'm going to open my own business. I'm going to do something that I'm passionate about, and I'm going to try to open my own business. This is a great time to do it. There'll be money out there for SBA loans. And I think a lot of people are going to take this time to go, I'm going to take control of my finances. I'm going to move that 401k from that job because now I can do it. I'm going to either buy some Bitcoin or some gold, or I'm going to do something else. I'm going to take control of my money. And they're also going to take control of their financial future and start a business. And I think that's a positive.
I think it is too. You know, let me ask you this question about gold. Let's go to gold for a second here.
Sure.
Because my thinking when we were talking about me diversifying more than I was, my thinking was this, is that give, and by the way, we initiated the, what we did before the COVID-19 really hit and we had this devastation. We had no idea it was going to be this bad.
Sure.
But one of the things I saw happening was the fact that we were ready for a downturn, just like you said, as part of the natural cycle. And I thought, okay, this is really going to stress the banks out. And I thought, I don't want to trust my bank.
Sure.
I want to trust it as little as possible. And so I'm thinking now that's even more important today. How do you see bank health today? Are banks going to fail, and is this going to have a ripple effect in the economy?
Absolutely. I definitely think that we're going to see a lot of, you know, not the big ones that everyone sort of knows about, but I think we're going to see a lot of the smaller banks, just run out of money. And I think that we haven't seen the housing crisis that's going to come. You know, the interesting thing about housing crisis today is I actually think that the institutional pieces of real estate are going to be affected more than residential. Even though unemployment's going to be high, I think a lot of people put more money down on their house today and they were more cautious than they were in 2008. So I do think we'll see houses, you know, residential houses come to the market, but I really think the big bubble is going to be the office market. I think that market's always had too much inventory, and I think that we're going to see that with more people working from home, those properties are going to hit the market at a pretty steady rate. So I think a lot of the hurting in the real estate market will go to some of the bigger institutions, because the banks aren't going to want to refinance those properties. They're not going to want to take them on. So I think there's going to be a flood of those. I think we're going to see a lot of empty, beautiful office buildings all over the country. And obviously that'll have a ripple effect. And then, you know, what's going to happen with retail stores? I think the bigger retail stores are going to have some problems. And then I hope, and this is my, you know, my positive side, is that, I think, good old American Main Street, is going to come back swinging. I think people are going to start shopping locally again because they know that the person that owns that store, that little, you know, store down the street, the little convenience store or the hardware store, that they're going to realize that they need to continue to go to those places to kind of keep those people living, and those are their neighbors. And I think Main Street's going to see a big resurgence. I think unlike 2008 where everybody, I think the bigger institutions are going to get really hurt by what's going to happen. So that's my
Well, right now, they're benefiting. I mean, I'll tell you, well, here's one of the things that really makes me upset.
Yeah.
Okay, I could have a small business that's retail, and I'm prevented from being opening, but blocks away from me, you've got Walmart, you've got Target, and these other box stores operating with impunity. And I'm really angry about that. Do you think there's going to be a backlash like I'm feeling among the populace against these box stores in favor of local businesses?
That's what I think. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way that the employees are going to be treated at those companies. I think that's what I'm saying. I think that the shift is going to be people working at Walmart are going to come and say, you know what, why don't I just, you know, my father was someone that fit, you know, fixed shoes and repaired shoes. Why don't I just get back into that business? Or why don't I, you know, start making candles and selling them on eBay? Or why don't I think there's just going to be a lot of this resurgence into saying, you know what? I can't trust these places to keep me employed. Even if they keep me employed, they're not paying me enough that it makes sense. And I might as well just do my own thing. And I think that's what we're going to see. And then just the shopping locally. I know for me, you know, the one thing that I've been doing is just really keeping local restaurants, you know, every few days is making sure restaurants that I love and I'm ordering food from to keep them going and tipping them as much as I possibly can. Because I know that when things open up, we're going to want those places back. And, you know, that's going to be a big push. So I do think there will be some positive resurgence here in the U.S., which is sort of what President Trump was pushing towards, you know, last year talking about the tariffs with China. I mean, this was ultimately what he was trying to get people to do. But the coronavirus just kind of pushed it to the forefront and made people kind of wake up.
That's really interesting. So you think the positive trends are just exacerbated by this? You know, let me ask you this question too, and this is kind of off the track of precious metals and Bitcoin, but
sure.
But with retail going under, like it is, and like it will continue to be, I think, is this a great benefit to companies like Amazon?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've seen it continue to explode, just in terms of, profitability. I think it will have definitely a positive effect, but I also think that there's going to be new needs today. I think that with more people working from home, I think there's going to be a lot of new businesses. I think that one thing that I would do just as a tip, because I have a number of businesses and people have been asking me like, what should I, and I think that what I would do if I was going to start something today is I would look at how people are going to function and work from home. And I would start to create either businesses around that, creating office, you know, synergy with your house, products that work when you're working from home. I think everything's going to revolve around that sort of dynamic, and that's where I see things starting to shift. Is there's going to be a big move in that direction? Obviously, IT and data is going to be really big because people are going to be working remotely, and they're going to need their computers to work, and they're not going to be at an office anymore. So I think there's a lot of shift there. Obviously, Amazon is a big thing right now because, you know, people are ordering and they're trying to keep themselves entertained. But I think we're going to move back. I think we're going old school, Dave, and I think people are going to be pulling out those old board games. I think people are starting to get back with their families. I think people are going to stay home longer after college. And I think it's going to be a resurgence in the American family, frankly.
Yeah. So is the bottom going to fall out of the housing market as well?
We're going to see that in the housing market. You're definitely going to have a correction there. But like I said, I think that because people had to put more money down in their houses, what I think is going to happen is I think that family members are going to team up and keep that house. Whereas in 2008, they weren't so inclined to do that because a lot of people put no money down. So there was no risk. Whereas now, if you put 15, 10, 20% down, you're not going to want to lose that money. You're going to want to keep that equity there, and you're going to keep that down payment. So I think that's what I'm saying. I think families are going to team up and they're going to keep things together. It's going to take some time. I think it's going to be a 2-year, pullback, which is much longer than a typical bear market. A typical bear market is usually very short. It's anywhere from 10 months to maybe 2 years max is a bear market. But I think this bear market is going to last the full 2 years. I think it's going to be a full 2-year correction.
Okay. Now here's a question out of left field, and you can tell this is coming from the novice, but I have very little faith in the stability of the dollar.
Yeah.
And I have very little faith that the dollar will avoid hyperinflation because oil, which underlies our petrodollar, which is the only backing our dollar has, with oil, what's going on around the world, there may not be the need for it. So let me ask you this question. Do you think someday people soon, I mean in the near future, are going to be using Bitcoin and or gold to pay for major purchases like homes and cars?
I mean, you can do it now, and there are places that there's a lot of transactions that have happened in Bitcoin. I haven't heard about many transactions happening in gold locally, but Bitcoin, absolutely. Last year, there were some major transactions that happened not far down from where I live in the Huntington Beach area. I saw a few $2, $3, $4 million homes that were purchased with actual Bitcoin. I do think that alternative currencies are going to become more prevalent in the world. And I think that Bitcoin, my bold prediction about Bitcoin is that there will be a country that eventually will adopt Bitcoin as its currency.
Wow.
And it will use Bitcoin. And it seems far-fetched, except if you think about Zimbabwe or you think about places that have had hyperinflation, how much better would they have been if they were in Bitcoin as a currency than whatever they've been in? Because the big issue in a lot of these countries is you have dictators that steal and hyperinflate the money. And if their currency was in Bitcoin, because there's no one controlling Bitcoin, there's no one central party, that would alleviate that concern. The other great thing about Bitcoin, not to go too much into it, but people can call us if they want to learn about it. Bitcoin does it in one way. It does have similarities to gold in that there is a limited amount of cryptocurrencies that will ever be created. So it has a finite amount, and that makes it sort of similar to gold in that it's not like the U.S. dollar where it can be printed out of thin air until infinity. There will be eventually all the Bitcoin that are mined will be mined, and that's it. And so there will be that supply and demand that people like with gold. They will have that eventually with Bitcoin. We're not there yet. I think there's another 15 years of mining before they've mined every Bitcoin. But eventually that will be it, and so there won't be able to make any more Bitcoin, and that should help with the overall value of that.
Well, that's incredible. But let me go back to the main thrust of my question though. Are you guys anticipating through Noble Gold that people are going to run from cash to gold and to Bitcoin, and it'll be more of a permanent move as opposed to a safe haven move during times of crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we've seen, late, especially in the last 60 days, is just a general distrust of the dollar. And I think the reason that that is there is because there's just no confidence that our currency is not going to get into a hyperinflation scenario, like you said. So if people can get into gold and eventually trade and barter with gold, and it can hold its value and hold its buying power, because really that's why people buy gold, is they want to continue the same lifestyle that they did before. I mean, that's the idea of retirement, is you don't want to go into retirement and have to start eating top ramen. You want to be able to survive and sustain that same quality of life. And so that's the idea behind gold, and I think we will see a scenario at some point where there will be currencies that will be backed by gold, and I think more people will be trading with gold and bartering with gold in the future.
Will that become international? Would that be like an international medium of exchange? And
you wouldn't be
going through the IMF?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think people want that. I mean, if you look at all the BRIC countries, they have all wanted that for a long time. They don't want to be tied to the dollar, but the dollar is the world's reserve currency, so we're stuck in that situation. But eventually it's going to move away from that, and I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when people are going to start calling in our debt. I don't know when that's going to happen, but when it does happen, they're going to need, we're going to need a new currency, and we're going to need something to back that currency. And I think the only way to have something backed is you have to go back to the tried and true, which is gold. And that's, you know, that's why gold is such a great bet.
You know, if I were a globalist, you know, thinking that they want one world currency that's digital, I would not let this happen now. I mean, it's right now, if Bitcoin moves into mainstream usages, like buying cars and homes, like I just said, and gold it does too, the globalists are going to lose their ability to enforce digital currency because people aren't going to surrender what they have.
Absolutely. And it gets rid of control. That's really the whole aspect of it. And then if you really dive in deeper into Bitcoin and you blockchain technology, the real idea behind the technology behind Bitcoin and why I believe a lot of people created Bitcoin and why that technology there is that the idea of you being able to take back all of your own personal data, all your own personal finances to yourself is scary for governments, but blockchain technology does give people the ability to do that. You could take back all of your information. You wouldn't need to go through the DMV. You would have control of all of who you are, all of your numbers. And as somebody needed it, you could send it to someone through the blockchain and it would be verified. So we could take back our own identity, which is, you know, if you're talking about globalists, this is a big thing that a lot of countries are afraid of, is that people taking back their own responsibility and being in control not only of their finances, but being in control of their own digital footprint. And that's the big fear for these institutions, because once people are able to do that, then we don't really need government as much as we do today. And I think you and I are on that wavelength, that we would like much less government and control of who we are and what we can become.
So if people were to jump, and I'm sorry, I'm definitely coming at this as a layman, so forgive my layman questions, but I think a lot of my audience is going to be right there with me. And if we're in a position now where we as people in this nation that have been really harmed by the existing financial system that's being exposed now through the decline, and people say, never again, and I'm going to get into what supersedes Federal Reserve control of things like the dollar and move more into independence, gold and Bitcoin, which is moved more by the market, I'm thinking this is a way really you preserve liberty, and this is mm-hmm. a way you preserve independence, and it's a way that you keep the Rothschild banking system and the other globalists from basically dominating your life.
Absolutely, and that is why a lot of the currencies that we talk about, the real money, gold and Bitcoin is a new one, but that's why a lot of times when you go on, watch the news, they don't want to talk about what's happening with gold. They don't want to talk about what's happening with Bitcoin, because everything else that they put you into, for instance, I mean, we talked about it early on. I mean, not to segue back, but you know, these funds, these target date funds for retirees, you put your money in, they control it, and then when you get close to retirement, you think that they've done the right thing and handled your finances the right way. Guess what? They haven't, and they've basically bankrupted all these people that are invested there. And this is the big issue, whereas these other assets, you're in control of it, and I think that's what people want, is they want to take back that control. Even more than ever, people are realizing that government is not the answer, and that they need to take control of their financial futures and their own personal future.
How do you think government will respond to this newfound independence that is probably going to sweep the country in response to what we're going through?
I think that they're already trying to do it, and you know, you see places like Facebook, and not to say that they're a government entity, but they're a big
they are. They're NSA. They're NSA.
Yeah. So they've created their own cryptocurrency. So they're trying to, you know, push their own agenda. But for the people that have been in the early adopters of cryptocurrency, and I'll tell you this, the funny thing is, the more I got into cryptocurrency, the more I realized that the people that own cryptocurrency, they also own gold. You know, they're independent thinkers. They like these assets. So I think they're going to try to do one of two things. They're either going to try to control Bitcoin, or they're going to try to create their own cryptocurrencies. And the government has talked about creating their own cryptocurrency, but why would we give them the ability to create something that they can manipulate? That's the beauty behind gold. There's only enough gold in the world to fit in 2.5 Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's it. So that's the beauty behind that. There's a limited amount of them, and the government just can't, out of thin air, create it. Same thing with Bitcoin. There's a limited amount of these coins out there, so that's it. And it's not created by one party. It's not controlled. And I think that's the exciting thing about where we're going. As long as people can get through this time period and they can see the future, I think if you're listening to this and you can see it, I think that you'll see that there is a brighter future for a lot of people out there that don't put their head in the sand, and they realize that this is the time to act and to take control.
Yeah, it's interesting that I've kind of come full circle now in my awareness economically, because in the Ron Paul Lovolution movement, and by the way, my good friend Ernie Hancock here in Phoenix coined that phrase for him, they were good friends. And Ron Paul basically was saying, end the Fed, end the Fed. And I used to march and end the Fed stuff. And I used to write about end the Fed, end the Fed. And we've had tyranny, economically speaking, for 107 years. And now this crisis that we're going through with COVID-19 and the economic destruction may also produce this. Am I getting this right? A silver lining of independence for America?
Good timing. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I truly believe that. And you know, I think that even though I'm in being in gold and silver, and we do a lot of times, we talk about debt, we talk about a lot of the negativity, but I think that once we're in that bear market, once we're in it, and that we can see a way out of it, that's how we, as you said, you see that silver lining. And I think that's the positive, is that we're in this crisis. How do people react? How do they open up their mind, which is something that you talk to people about every day? And how do they get past the kind of mindset? Because, you know, I talk to people every day that there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. But listen, we know what the problem is. We're going through it right now. We're trying to find it. Now we got to move on. You know, we've been in lockdown. We're going to come out of this. And either you're going to come out of it better, or you're going to come out of it, you know, with your head down and sad. But really, there's opportunities right now for people that are open to it. And, you know, I'd love to, you know, people calling in, they want to learn about gold, or they want to learn about cryptocurrencies. We have a ton of guides. And this offer, Dave, was, you know, make sure they say they heard us on your show, the Common Sense Show, and Dave. And this is the first place I've offered it. I wanted to, you know, bring it out to you.
Well, let's restate the offer again, just to be clear, because we've covered so many things.
Yeah, so crypto, you have an IRA, you want to put cryptocurrency, as long as it's a qualified IRA, and we'll tell you what that is once you call and we can explain that to you, you're going to get all your first year IRA fees waived by Noble Gold. So it's an easy way to get in. We can explain the offer to you. We can explain how it works. And you hit the nail on the head. If Bitcoin goes from 7,800 to 20,000, you said it, that's the great time, is that you can sell it. You can take that profit that day. You can liquidate it, go back into cash, and you're sitting in a huge profit position without having to pay any tax. And that's the big kind of illuminating moment of this conversation, is that that opportunity is out there.
Okay, so let me be a customer just for a second, okay? Because people, listen, Colin, I'll tell you, we're going a little longer than scheduled, and I really appreciate that. But you've hit some points here that are revolutionary to the U.S. economy that I'm not hearing other people talk about. Listen, and I don't know if people are, and I touch a lot of different segments economically, and you're presenting a picture here that's unique, but it's one that I'm buying into, because I think it's one that we've already moved into by default. So let me play customer here for a second. I call one of your reps and I say, okay, I heard you on Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show, and I want to get into cryptocurrency. Can you set okay, let's say I buy two coins, okay, just for the sake of argument, and yeah. I say, okay, when it reaches this level of profitability, I automatically want it to go into gold. Can your people do that, or does the client always have to bear the responsibility of monitoring?
Yeah, we're not automated in the way that you're, because it's not, you can do that when you're in a fund, but what you, the way that we work with clients is that we're just helping them acquire the asset. They're actually in control. It's a self-directed IRA. So we're basically can't do anything without the consent of the client. So the client, and the great thing about being the boss is you're the boss, and the bad thing about being the boss is you're the boss. So ultimately the client buys, let's say they buy the two Bitcoin from us and then it doubles. So now their account, instead of being at, you know, 14,000, which it would have been if it just stayed flat, now their account's at 28,000. So they call in, they talk to the same rep that handled it, they say, I'm ready to liquidate today, and we liquidate, we go back into cash, and then they can, or go back into gold or whatever they want, and they can do that on a, on any day basis, any business day, they can get that accomplished.
Okay, now in my particular financial situation, I can't convert to an IRA because I don't have one due to how, you know, I was set up in the beginning.
Sure.
So, okay, tell me why I would want to do cryptocurrency. I know why I want to do gold. I've already done gold with NovaGold.
Sure.
And I'm very, very pleased at what happened. But now there's cryptocurrency, and I don't have that IRA option, which I think is a good one if you're there.
Yeah.
What could I do? What are my options with cryptocurrency outside the IRA?
Yeah, I mean, I've just what I've personally done is I have cryptocurrency that I own, and I'm not an endorser of them or anything, but I've done it and I know it works and I've been able to buy and sell there, is I've always used Coinbase, which is one of the larger ones. It's a very, it's an application on your phone. You can also download it on your computer. And that's a really easy way if you're buying cryptocurrency outside of your IRA. They do all the major cryptocurrencies. You can buy, I think you can put in even as little as $100 and buy, you know, fractional amounts of cryptocurrency. And I've used them for 3.5 years and it's been flawless. So if you're doing it outside of an IRA, I've had good success there, and that's a good way to go. I would say that, you know, if people are, you know, looking to do it within an IRA, they don't have it. If you are, you know, one thing that you are, you're self-employed. If you're self-employed, you can always start a SEP IRA, which is for people that are self-employed. You could start one of those if you wanted to, and you could put Bitcoin in that IRA also, or gold. So there is options if you are self-employed. A lot of times people don't know what those options are, but we have helped people set up an IRA if you're self-employed. So that could be an option out there. But if you want to just buy it, put some cash in, I've had good success with Coinbase. This is not an endorsement. It's just something that I've used, and it's worked well for me.
Does Noble Gold do that, or is that an independent venture for people?
Yeah, we don't – anything outside. We're focused with cryptos. We're just focused on the IRA aspect because we like it in the IRA because of the tax-deferred aspect. When you buy it outside of the IRA, like I said, that's the big – thing is that if you, when you have these gains that you're going to get, you have to track them, and you have to report that information to the IRS, and that's sort of a little bit still the wild, wild west, and that's something that we get involved in. Everything within the IRA is all, it's all tax deferred, so we don't have to worry about it.
Okay, well, God, this has been such an education, and I'm sure a lot of people who are following this are going, wow, this is revolutionary from an economic standpoint. This is, I think this is an interview that might make both of us a little more famous because we're right on the, I've said this to people and they kind of like, oh yeah, right, Dave, there you go again. Okay. But I've said this, I said, with what's going to happen to this economy, I said, when the banks start to go, real estate's going to go, housing market's going to crash, it's going to make 2008 look like a picnic. And I said, and people are going to leave the dollar in droves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying this, and people say, oh, you're fearmonger, you're gloom and doom. And here you're explaining exactly what I've been saying, but in very technical terms that I don't have at my disposal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the 10-year treasury is down 60% this year. I mean, who's going to want to put their money there in that, you know, and even before it was down 60%, it wasn't paying a return that anybody's going to want. So we're right there, Dave. And I think that you know, people are opening their eyes now. They realize that it's time. You have to be responsible. Don't put money in a 401k your whole life and just expect it to be there down the road. It just doesn't. Those days are gone. You have to look at it. And if everyone listening to this doesn't call Noble Gold or doesn't, they're not interested in what we're saying. The only thing that I would hope is that people look at their 401ks, look at their look at your money, look at it every month, look at it every quarter, and just, I think you'll feel better if you know what you have, you know what you're doing, and you're building a future for yourself. So if nothing else, that's what I hope people take out of this.
Okay, so let's just recap now. When people call in, you're waiving fees the first year for the cryptocurrency, correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, they have to mention your name. But the phone lines are open and we're going to run this for a limited time. I would say probably a month, maybe a month and a half, but I want to make it easier for them to get in. And sometimes those upfront fees are sort of difficult. So I want to take care of those IRA fees for the custodian. We're going to do that for them. But I think it's going to be exciting. And I think people are, we're moving in a direction that is going to help people definitely take control of their finances.
And you're still going to offer what you did with me, is the diversification away from cash into more gold-backed stock.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh, that's always there. Yeah, today we talked about something new, and you and I have never really talked about this, so I thought it'd be a good time. And I always like the questions that you ask. You kind of frame it in a way that everybody can sort of understand, and I appreciate that. You and I will definitely talk about this more as things.
Oh my gosh, this is a change in our entire economic structure. Yep. You see, I can see it now. I've been saying, here's a problem on the front end. I could really see the problems economically, but I wasn't quite sure of where the refuge would go. I thought gold would certainly be a source, but now you're talking about Bitcoin, and I can see that people are going to say, well, gold might be getting a little crowded right now, so let me get over into Bitcoin, or let me diversify into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic opportunity here. Let's give out your number again. People have the ability to call you and your people and talk more about this and what's best for them.
Yeah, it's 877-646-5347.
Okay. And people, when they call in, and if they do crypto IRA, they've got to mention Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show. Okay.
Yep,
I think we got it. Well, Colin, I got to tell you, this may be... We've had really good interviews about the economy before and trends, but I think this might be our most important interview to date.
It's been great, Dave. No, I appreciate the time as always, and I'm excited to talk to people about this. And
likewise.
Looking forward to talking to you again in the very near future.
Thank you.